Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't
wizard,
care. I don't.
Wizard,
I never
wizard.
Have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me 15 grand, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners. And I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast, powered by Bet Online, the summer send-off edition. After we cover some of today's topics, so we'll take a little hiatus and come back refreshed, recharged for what should be the best football season to date. I am Todd Furman, and I'm joined, as always, by Payne Insider. Payne, you think you're ready for a big football season after about a six-week break come today?
I think it's going to line up to be a nice season. Looking at a lot of stuff. Should be profitable, as usual.
Plenty of NFL. College football will branch out to here on Bet the Board. A lot of exciting things coming, and as always, we encourage you to follow the Bet the Board podcast Twitter account for all your updates throughout the course of the summer months. We'll have plenty of great articles on the site, in the process of bringing on some writers, a U.S. Open preview with a writer making his debut on the site. So a lot of things in the works around here. And Payne, before we get to the Belmont and another major topic, wanted to get your thoughts real quick on what we've seen so far in the NBA with Golden State on the verge of winning their second championship in 3 years. And I know your beloved Penguins have made this a little bit more stressful spring and summer than you anticipated.
Where would you like me to start?
I mean, you may as well start in the NBA. That's your specialty.
Very anticlimactic. I mean, we did the NBA podcast. Everyone's going to be cashing their Warriors future pretty easily. And this is what it is. It's unfortunate that this is what the NBA has become, but here we are. It's not competitive. And we've talked about this a lot of times. When you designed this specific team, and I know a lot of people initially compared it to LeBron going to Miami and there would be this transition period. There wasn't going to be a transition period because the core had been there forever in Golden State, and now you're adding potentially the best offensive player in the world, potentially ever, to this mix. Everyone is going to be getting open shots. Every single person on that team can shoot. You have to guard them close. It creates space. Like, it is a nightmare matchup. And they're probably going to win four or five more unless CP3 says to himself, hey, I actually want to win some games. I don't just want to sail off into the sunset in LA. And he makes the move to San Antonio. Because we saw San Antonio give these guys a real run for their money. The matchup was a little bit more competitive. So if CP3 transitions to the Spurs, maybe we have something, but if he doesn't, this is going to be going on for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine that we're going to see a seismic shift in power. LeBron has kind of created a scenario in Cleveland where they're going to have to figure out what they need to do to retool to compete with the Warriors, but you look at the East, it's still Cleveland's to win. No reason to believe LeBron wouldn't get the Cavs back to the finals, but as you mentioned, the Warriors right now playing on another level, and we can say what we want about the addition of Kevin Durant. I'm not buying into the narrative you're seeing all over social media that he's somehow supplanted LeBron James as the best player in the game. You put anybody on that roster surrounded by Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and everybody else, they're going to look like an elite-level player. Not taking anything away from Durant, but I think it'll be interesting and fascinating to try and see how all of this unfolds, knowing that we can say what we want about super teams, but aside from the addition of Durant, most of that talent that Steve Kerr has put together, I mean, is relatively homegrown. When you look at Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green as their core, I mean, albeit Mark Jackson laid the foundation beforehand, but it's not like Golden State acquired all these pieces through free agency in a way to circumvent the NBA system.
Well, a couple of things. It takes fortune and good luck. You know, you look at a lot of...
Oh, no doubt about it.
You look at a lot of that... You get Klay Thompson, you know, you get Draymond Green. They weren't, you know, you're talking top five picks. And we know in the NBA, a lot of these guys don't pan out even if they are a top five pick. So you got good fortune there. Steph Curry likely would have signed a much larger deal had he not had the ankle issue. So that, you know, provides some relief to the salary cap. Let's not get this confused. Like, Durant's the best offensive player in the world. Like, he's not just okay. Like, you can at least have the conversation that at this very moment, he competes with LeBron. Like, that's not out of this world. But I will tell you this. As a basketball player, as an athlete, as an everyday person in life, what kind of causes your struggles? Is it fear? Is it like the what if you don't do something, that what if? So like last night, Kevin Durant comes down, they're down two, and he just walks into a three. And everyone's like, that's the greatest clutch shot ever. What was clutch about? There's zero fear in that. He doesn't make it. It's the best team in the world. They're still up 2-1 in the series. They're going to be favored in every single game thereafter. They still have four of the five best players on the court. There's no fear in that, taking that shot. You're going to be perfectly fine the next game. You're not going to be ridiculed because you're the nice guy. You're the quiet, nice guy everybody loves in the social world and the new landscape of what we live in. Like, there's no fear in taking that shot, and that's why you can just walk into it and take it and hit it. So I saw a lot of people like, that's the clutch gene LeBron doesn't have. Like, give me a break. There was zero fear in taking that shot. There was zero what if he misses this, what happens next. No, you're going to go on. You're still going to have four of the five best players on the court. You're still going to be favored in every single game in the rest of the series. You know, so there was zero fear in taking that shot.
It's always entertaining to see how social media, how quickly they turn. Of course, Golden State, a massive favorite for winning this championship. We look at the numbers, 6-point favorite at BetOnline for game four. I think we can pretty much write it off. NHL, maybe not so much. Best of three series now. The Penguins.
Hockey. How could I forget to talk about that?
I mean, I just wanted your quick 30-second synopsis. I mean, a lot of people know that you bash hockey one way or
the other. You know the synopsis I gave you
last
time.
But you're a Penguins fan. I mean, I wasn't sure if you wanted to use this form right now.
Go Penguins.
To come out here and trash Olli Maatta. I thought that was what you wanted to do. I was going to give you an opportunity to vent.
What has happened to that human being? I know he's young, and I know he's been dealing with an injury. He's trying to work himself back. There is not an ounce of fire within that guy. I mean, it's brutal. It is brutal. Stick another offensive guy out there. At least another body with a stick and his two skates. That's it. Maybe we might have a shot.
That is top shelf analysis from Payne Insider. We know he is.
Listen, it's the information, right?
That's how to say.
A couple weeks ago, just go Penguins, and here they are in the finals, a favorite in game three, potentially taking on a 3-2
lead. Game five, but you know, who's counting? Either way,
game five.
Either way, we're split.
3-2 lead.
We're splitting hairs.
Just win tonight, and everyone's going to be cashing that Penguins future as they did last year. Let's go.
Couple of big interviews on tap in today's show. Dave Mason is back. We'll get to him in a little bit. We've also brought in another guest to offer his perspective on the Belmont Stakes. You've read a lot of his work with us at Todd's Take previously, now at Bet the Board. And before we get to Jay, though, Payne, we have a little special in store. Just want to tease it a little bit. Best gambling movies of all time going to be the meat and the potatoes in the podcast. So I hope you've done your homework.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's a gambling movie. All right, well, this is what it is. When we talk about gambling movies, there's got to be a fine line here because there's some, like The Sting. I know you like that movie. We've talked about it before. And it's the classic. I don't know how well it translates. I don't know how entertaining it is. To me, it deserves its own class. Like, I know, you know, the obvious ones we're talking about probably, you know, Casino. And you have, like, you know, Rounders. Like, these are, like, money that was spent to be entertaining movies as well as have the gambling element. The other ones that are just like gambling movies, they're tough to compare.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we'll have some subcategories, but
like, where are you putting Ocean's 11 in this mix?
See, that's the one that I was going to actually ask you about that. I think that's a good segue. We'll get to that, and we'll kind of dissect some of these, but before we do that, let's talk about the Belmont Stakes and what's on tap this weekend.
We like to put voices behind the names that we bring on the podcast and our website, and we're excited for him to make his Bet the Board debut. He's been a staple on my site, Todd's Take, before we graduated him to the big leagues this Triple Crown season and promoted him to Bet the Board. His name is Jay Valter, but you can follow him on Twitter, and you may know him more affectionately as Kentucky Derby Jay. That's at KY Derby Jay. Jay, give us the reason, first and foremost, with no Triple Crown candidate, that we should even watch the Belmont Stakes this weekend.
Well, there's a lot of intrigue that's been sapped out of the race. You don't have the Derby winner there. You don't have the Preakness winner there. You don't even have the best three-year-old there, as Classic Empire pulled out with an injury earlier this week. He would have been, I believe, a fairly heavy favorite in the race. But that said, it now becomes a betting bonanza. The race is wide open, and if you like to gamble, this is going to be a good race to do so.
You know, you mentioned Classic Empire pulling out. Payne, that was a bit of a sore spot for you, my friend.
Not at all. Not at all. Got clipped at the wire. I actually thought, you know, like Jay said, this is a race that had a ton of value. I thought it actually had more classic Empire in it. I don't think we were even considering him in this race.
No, I think it probably would have set up nicely to look to go against him, whether it was in your exotics or some of the head-to-head matchups are available. The field, of course, 12 horses, 1.5 miles, 149th running of the Belmont Stakes. And Jay, as you mentioned, yet again, second year, we'll have different winners in every single Triple Crown race. We know the big storyline every year. This is the longest distance a lot of these horses are going to run. How do you try and handicap the Belmont differently than you'd handicap any other horse race on the entire schedule?
Well, for starters, I think it's actually the longest race that any of them will ever run. Mile and a half races on the dirt in the United States are just rare these days. I mean, there's some turf races that are that long, but you're never going to see dirt races this long. I think it's a race that, for handicapping purposes, the two most important things to look at are, first and foremost, the pace of the race, because a lot of people kind of fall into this trap. Well, it's a mile and a half. That must mean the closers are going to win, you know, and that tends to, a lot of people really get harped on that. But really, the race has been won on the front end or close to the front end quite often, mainly because when you're going a mile and a half, these horses that get on the front end can slow the pace down considerably and don't really give the closers much of a pace to run at. So I think figuring out what the pace of the race is a key factor. And also, I think even more so than the other two Triple Crown races, breeding comes in here. You know, the ability to stay that mile and a half trip and looking at the breeding is it's something that I do a little bit, you know, for the mile and a quarter of the Derby, but it's only sort of a minor factor. At the Belmont, it becomes somewhat of a major, possibly even a deciding factor.
When people talk about the Belmont, you mentioned breeding being a big part of it. How much emphasis do you place on the jockey for this race, given its distance, more so than the other two jewels of the Triple Crown?
I don't know that I necessarily place more, but it certainly is. It is a jockey's race. I mean, I think back, the example that comes to my head is that, you know, Smarty Jones, who may have been the best horse that has the best horse in all Triple Crown races, maybe other than American Pharoah in this entire, you know, the entire 2000s so far. I mean, he had a somewhat of a jockey, Stuart Elliott, who wasn't exactly an all-star, and he got schooled in that race. And quite frankly, Smarty Jones would have been the horse that broke the Triple Crown streak, not American Pharoah. If Stuart Elliott had even given him a competent ride in that race.
It's interesting to consider. And rather than starting with some of the favorites, I won't call any of these horses real household names, considering looking at Lee, the only horse that'll be riding in the third Triple Crown race of this 2017 season. So I'd rather go outside in, Jay, and start with two of the long shots with Twisted Tom and Hollywood Handsome. Do we see either of these guys having a chance to spoil the back end of exotics, or should we just throw them out and kind of move into some of the other ponies?
Actually, I like Twisted Tom. You got the trained by Trad Brown, who obviously just won the Preakness. He's an interesting horse. He had two nice races at Laurel this year. He's undefeated. He's a grandson of Thunder Gulch. The breeding is there. Chad Brown is a trainer who, as we saw, he can gear horses up for big races. This is a guy who's had a very explosive closing kick in his last two wins. He won a race called the Federico Tezio at Pimlico, at Laurel, which is a prep for the Preakness oftentimes. Instead, Brown chose to stick with Cloud Computing in the Preakness, and kind of this guy's been geared for the Belmont the whole time. I think he's in with a shot. He's not necessarily my top choice, but if he crashes the exotics, I'm not going to be surprised.
A trio of horses that we see priced in that 15-1 range, Multiplier, Meantime, and J-Boy's Echo. Of course, J-Boy's Echo ran in the Kentucky Derby, not exactly the best run that horse was looking for. Interesting storylines. Here are some of the casual observers. Second year in a row, Bobby Flay has bought a piece of a horse running in the Belmont. See if he can kind of see if lightning will strike twice. Trainer Dale Romans finished third in four of his eight Belmont trips. Do we see any of these three horses playing a role in Saturday's race?
I heard you mention J-Boy's Echo and Multiplier. Who was the third one you mentioned?
Multiplier and Meantime, all at that 15-1 morning line favorite.
Okay. I don't like Meantime at all. I think he's a horse who's going to be getting on the front end here, and I don't think he's going to be competitive with the horses on the front end. Multiplier was a horse who I touted on your site a little bit as an exotic crasher in the Preakness. He didn't run poorly. He finished sixth. He was actually in a photo for fourth, so he could have. You know, he's right there for having a piece of the super. He's kind of a plotter, though. I don't necessarily know that the pace in this race is going to be perfect for him. J-Boy's Echo, 15th in the Derby had a horrible trip. I'm drawing a line through that. That was sort of iffy on his chances in the Derby. I'm a little bit stronger here. I like the breeding. He also gets Dale Roman's number one jock is Robbie Alvarado, who got hurt about during the Keeneland meet. So he hasn't been on any Roman's horses for a few weeks now. He's back actually today riding at Churchill, and he'll be on J Boy's Echo in the Belmont. And I think you're going to get a real nice solid price on this one, who isn't the sort of the stone closer that some of the other ones are. I think he can possibly run a bit closer to the pace, and I think he's someone who's going to add a lot of value in this race.
And when we look at the two other horses currently priced in that double-digit range, Senior Investment at 12-1, and then, of course, the fan favorite that drew all sorts of attention for before his run in the Derby, Patch. How do you see things playing out for those two particular ponies?
So Senior Investment obviously ran quite well in the Preakness. He went from 7th to 3rd in the last 100 yards of the race. I have looked at the Preakness quite a bit for trip handicapping, and I was particularly focused on Senior Investment, wondering if he was sort of plodded along past some towering horses. He actually ran a very fast final quarter mile. He won the Lexington Stakes before that at Keeneland in what I thought was a very weak field. So I kind of discounted his chances at Pimlico. The question here is he going to leave himself too much work to do? Are we looking at like sort of a similar scenario where he's like way back and in that long Belmont stretch, he's able to pass some horses? I don't know. I'm not going to discount him. I think he's certainly improving and is in with a chance. Patch, here's Pletcher bringing another one here. He set out the Preakness. You know, he was the fan favorite, the one eye. He really never had a chance in the Derby. He was out on the 20 hole. That day with the mud and everything else, nobody was going to win from the 20 hole. That said, I wasn't particularly fond of him there. So I'm kind of inclined to throw Patch out here.
Payne, before we get Jay's thoughts on the five remaining horses, what's some of the buzz amongst your gambling community in terms of some of the ponies guys may be looking for or potential players in some of the head-to-head matchups that we'll see on the board as we get closer to the weekend?
It's actually, from what I've heard, the long shot horse they like a little bit is Meantime. They see some value there. Pretty inexperienced, but for them, unseen means value potentially. Never finished worse than third. We know the race that really compares to the Belmont is the Peter Pan, where he finished second. He gets, you know, obviously Mike Smith, the big money rider here that's won this race twice. So that's one that I think they're going to value bet a little bit here. And again, when we were looking at this horse, we were throwing Classic Empire completely out of the fold. So the horse from Japan, when he opened 8-1, 9-1, there was some value in that number. Now at 4-1, you certainly have to reevaluate because 4-1 is really short. So those were really the two horses that we were going to be looking at. Now we've kind of thrown everything to the wayside, and we're kind of reevaluating this race at this point.
And Jay, I obviously want to get your thoughts on the five remaining horses, but we may as well start as Payne provided a perfect segue with Epicharis. Now listed at 4-1, a lightly raced Japanese horse, narrowly defeated in the Grade 2 United Arab Emirates Derby. How do you handicap this horse that hasn't been in the States? We know travel time, if you believe his stable, played a little bit of a role in his run in the UAE Derby. Do we think that's a factor here, or do we really believe this horse can live up to its advanced expectations running in Belmont this weekend?
Well, I like him, and first and foremost, they pointed for this race. They, after the UAE Derby, they were actually as the number one horse from Japan. Now the Derby has the automatic entry for that, and so he would have had a berth in the Kentucky Derby if he had wanted it. His connection said, no, we're pointing to the Belmont. This is the race that we want. This is the race that he's bred for. He's bred for a mile and a half. He's the grandson of Sunday Silence. So I think he's in with a big chance here. Now, the problem, and Payne alluded to it, is I think the value is deflated on this horse a lot. I'm going to be very interested, however, to see, you know, how the betting goes on Belmont Day. I kind of think that he might wind up going off a little higher than his morning line. But, again, that remains to be seen. We'll see.
And Irish Warcry, of course, the morning line favorite at 7-2. Looking at Lee, who we mentioned before, listed at 5-1. Again, the only horse that'll run all three legs of the Triple Crown this year. Taprit at 6-1 on the morning line. And, of course, Gormley at 8-1. Jay, I'll leave the floor to you as we break down the four remaining horses in the field, who we may need to watch for, who may be a little bit overvalued, and, of course, on the flip side, undervalued as we look to structure our exotics.
Okay, from the Irish War Cry standpoint, he certainly looks like the classiest horse in the field. He has the best wins. I was not very optimistic about his chances in the Derby. I thought it wasn't a race that set up very well for him. The opposite could be true here. I don't believe there's going to be very much value on him, though, particularly relative to the rest of the field. Now, we're still talking about possibly a tepid favorite who might go off at 7-2. He might even go off at 4-1. If you really like him, I guess that's pretty good value. I'm most interested by the fact that Graham Motion is his trainer, and after the Derby pretty much said, no, we're not going to run in any of the other – we're definitely not going to run the Preakness, and I don't think we're going to run in the Belmont either. His tune changed here in the last 2 weeks because he's been so satisfied with the way he's been training. So I think that he has the style where if he's going to sit right off the pace, and it seems likely that he's at least going to be in with a shot there at the end.
And with the I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll let you jump right in.
No, go ahead. I was just going to talk about looking at Lee, who's obviously given two very solid efforts. I touted him pretty heavily in the Derby and thought maybe he was due for a bounce in the Preakness. I mean, he wasn't right there at the end, but he certainly ran a pretty honest race. And I feel like at this point, we know what we're getting out of looking at Lee, and we're probably going to get a similar effort. And I think that it's quite likely that he'll finish in the top four. I also think it's quite unlikely that he's going to be the one in the winner's circle.
No, it's great information when you try and process. There's so many different things going on. You boys both alluded to it. Without having a clear-cut favorite now with Classic Empire removed from the field, it does create ample opportunity. And we know a lot of our loyal listeners and followers of the Bet the Board content will be able to get all of your head-to-head matchups in the breakdown. Can't thank you enough for what you've done in the Kentucky Derby and Preakness to offer up some of those thoughts. But if we're walking to the window, trying to place our exotic, whether it's an exacta or a tri box on Saturday, Jay, how do we line this thing up to make a few bucks and ride off into the sunset?
Well, first off, I didn't address the other two, and there's a reason why I didn't address one of them. But I will go ahead and say that in terms of Gormley, I don't particularly care for him that much. I did not like him at all in the Derby, although he's the winner of the Santa Anita Derby and Battle of Midway, who he beat in that race, flattered him in that race. I still don't like his chances here, and I particularly think the morning line is the most askew of all the morning lines that I saw. Now, Taprit, okay, I liked his chances in the Derby a little bit. He ran sixth. He ran a very, very good race if you're into trip handicapping. He was troubled the entire way, and he actually ran, I believe, it's either the second or third fastest final quarter in the race. He is following a pattern that Pletcher has used to some success, that is run in the Derby, skip the Preakness, come back in the Belmont. He did this with Palace Malice, and it worked. He's also did it fairly successfully, not a win, but Destin ran quite well with the same exact scenario. So, as you can tell, I'm pretty bullish on Taprit's chances, and I believe the price is going to be pretty good. Now, he's one I'm going to keep a watch on the tote board. If I don't feel like I'm getting the correct value, I might look elsewhere. But right now, I think that Irish War Cry is probably a deserving morning line favorite, and I believe if he runs his best race, if the pace plays out like it will, he's probably the horse with the best chance of winning. That said, I believe Taprit has an excellent chance to get the victory. And in terms of the long shots, look, you're going to have some horses closing, and J Boy's Echo, I believe, is a horse that potentially is going to go off at 20-1. And I think that he has an excellent chance to finish second or third. And I believe he has a fair to good chance to win the race.
One last thing, Jay, before we let you go, we know it's not just the Belmont Stakes on a busy race weekend. Any other races in Elmont that you're keeping your eye on that may offer a little bit of value?
You caught me in a bat, and I need to handicap those races better. I feel bad that you're asking that question. I'm not giving you a good answer, but there are. But I will endorse that the Belmont Day card is perhaps now, outside of Breeders' Cup, the best one-day card in North American racing. So I encourage everybody that's listening to not just to focus in on the Belmont. There are some great races. I'm certainly probably going to be immerse myself all day tomorrow trying to get ready for Saturday and handicapping those races.
And if people want to try and find you, they can always do so on Twitter at KYDerbyJ. Jay, can't thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy day to hop on here with and educate the Bet the Board podcast audience, which they're not quite into the horse racing discipline full board just yet. With your expertise and what we've been able to do this Triple Crown season, hopefully they've come out on the other side a little bit more educated than they were that first Saturday in May.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Payne. Thank you, Todd.
Wealth of information, Payne. When you talk about horse racing, especially the Triple Crown, you can really tell that Jay lives and breathes this kind of stuff.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Very informative.
So we can only hope that the race results for the Belmont Stakes. We know we were able to cash on the Kentucky Derby. The Preakness, it didn't quite go the way we drew it up, but let's hope the third race in the...
The problem is I didn't listen to myself.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Go ahead. Why don't you use... Come on.
Paralysis by analysis.
I mean, that's always the name of the... That's always the name of the game in this business.
There's two ways. I think I said it 9 times. Two ways to fade Always Dreaming. You're either taking Classic Empire Win Place, which we did okay there. We broke even, made a few pennies. Or you're going to throw out the two favorites in Flat Bet, Cloud Computing, Hence, and Gunnivere. The problem is I dug into Hence, and he was absolute dog crap. And I said, I don't really like that philosophy anymore. And so I took a combination of the two with Gunnivera and Classic Empire, and it just should have listened to myself. Although the Triple Crown, no Triple Crown cash, which was nice for everybody that got on that before the Kentucky Derby podcast. Nice 15% in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you also had, a price that you could have laid. I mean, I think I saw it go off as low as minus 290 on the no on the Triple Crown at Bet Online. Right before we got to post at Pimlico. So always some intriguing opportunities to take full advantage of some of the horse racing. It'll be interesting to track Jay's picks this weekend and see if we can make a few bucks.
You always line that up. Here we go. Like, I'm about to say something that I hadn't previously said, or I'm about to say something that's completely off the wall.
I mean, you do say things that are off the wall. That's why I think this podcast... It does add a level of entertainment value aside from being informative. We just don't want to sit here and be like robots.
That's true. You give me the here we go, like I'm about to say something that
I have to brace myself. Could be. That's kind of my non sequitur, to just brace myself for what may come out of your mouth next.
Okay.
All right, let's...
It's all pretty informative
stuff.
Let's
get into these movies. And you mentioned it earlier, talking about how there's some subclassifications and where, like, an Ocean's 11 would go. Do we see Ocean's 11 as a gambling movie with the casino as a backdrop? Like, what do we define as a gambling movie? Does the main character have to be a sports bettor or a poker player and have to deal with some struggles because of its gambling? Or can a gambling movie be what goes on in and around the gambling culture? I really don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer either. So, I mean, I kind of like them all, but when you start comparing them potentially and saying this one's better than the next, you know, a movie like 21 that's going to get this huge screen notoriety, they're going to throw, you know, big actors in it. Like, it's a little different for me. You know, Ocean's 11, though, that series, you know, they create a freaking series off of it. Like, it's a little different if you're comparing it to The Sting, I feel like. That's just my kind of personal opinion.
And I think you dig around on some of this stuff. It was interesting. So, of course, when we do any of these topics, I always like to poke around and see what the sentiment is throughout the lovely interweb. I was floored, Payne, by some of the movies that make these top 10 lists. I think one that you... I mean, Casino Royale getting grouped in as a gambling movie. I'm as big a James Bond fan as you may find. But, like, come on now. That's not a gambling movie.
Okay. So there's your hard stance. I was going to say, if you were going to start throwing in Ocean's 11, Casino Royale would be, you know, the next one to that.
I feel like it's a little bit different, though. I mean, it's an action series. Okay, maybe I'm completely off base here, but James Bond movies, I feel like, hey, that's its own category. So all of a sudden, if I put James Bond in a casino, that makes it a gambling movie. I'm not sure I'm necessarily buying that logic.
I know the title's Casino. That's a full-blown gambling movie?
Casino is a full-blown gambling movie.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree.
So I think that's up there.
What's the other movie that gets a lot of pub? I'm going to butcher the name.
What, The Sting?
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? There's like a great poker scene in that movie.
There's a lot
of movies where you can pull out fantastic scenes with gambling elements in them.
Correct.
And some of them are like better than full-blown movies that dedicate themselves to gambling.
Right. I mean, but there's a difference. You know, if you have one scene, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But that doesn't mean it's a gambling movie. Something like Rounders, for example. That, in my opinion, is a gambling movie. It's built in and around the subculture of poker. That's the focal point. The Runner with John Goodman. I mean, it's about a guy who gets himself into gambling trouble betting sports and what he has to do to dig himself out of it. Those are gambling movies, in my opinion, not something where there's just one gambling scene. I mean, shit, one of these lists had Seabiscuit up there. I know it's about horse racing, but it's not a gambling movie.
So where do you put the newer movies, like A Runner Runner? For whatever reason, I liked better than most critics. It felt like it was a new gambling movie, and because of the people that were in it, Timberlake, Affleck, it got harshly criticized. But when you kind of line it up in terms of gambling movies, it wasn't a horrible movie.
No, I actually thought it is a gambling movie, and I thought they did a pretty good job. I'm right there with you, especially now. Maybe the people that aren't in and around the online gambling business don't understand that there are some elements to that story that are very true. And whether people want to admit it or not, that's loosely or maybe not so loosely based on some pretty prominent characters in our particular space right now.
Correct.
So, I mean, there's a lot of elements to it. I thought they did a good job. I did think Affleck and JT did a very good job. And I'm with you. I think that it doesn't get enough credit for the movie. I encourage people that haven't seen it to go check it out. But definitely a gambling movie. I'm not sure where it ranks all time if we want to get into that. But that may be a discussion in and of itself. But something like in a movie, I'm not sure if you've seen High Roller, the Stu Unger story about the poker player. I can't remember if you told me to watch that or who it was that referred me to it. Now, that's a gambling movie.
Absolutely, without question.
So, you know, that falls...
One of the best poker players of all time. If you're in the poker space, that... I'm not going to say it's the equivalent to Rounders because it doesn't have that big screen aspect to it. It doesn't have the characters to it. It's a dark movie, obviously. But if you're a poker guy, you know, I think it's pretty high up on your list.
And where do you come down to movies like The Color of Money, Owning Mahoney, movies...
Most overrated movie ever.
Movies along those lines. Money.
Yeah, The Color of Money is one of the most overrated movies of all time in the gambling space. Like, the quote that gets all the love, cannot stand it. And I posted a picture of this on Instagram the other day. Money won is twice as sweet as money earned. Like, I've never even, like, the dumbest quote that gets major airtime ever. The worst quote, potentially, in gambling movie history. And that movie is so overrated. I've kind of dug into, like, you know, I was shocked. You know, Croupier with Clive Owen.
Never actually seen it, by the
way. Yeah, it's good. It's a good movie. Owning Mahoney, very good movie. You're going to like that one. I believe it's on Netflix. I'm going to have to double check that. But that one, to me, is, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, absolute genius. And then you get the mix in there. It's, you know, I think it takes place in Canada. 99% certain Toronto. So it's a banker. He's got a woman, seemingly normal life, but he's stealing from the bank to pay his degenerate gambling debts. And, you know, he's trying to get out of it. But Philip Seymour Hoffman, absolute legend. So that's actually a very good gambling movie that it doesn't seem it's kind of off the beaten path, off the radar a little bit.
Now, have you seen The Gambler with James Caan? I mean, is that one that you would recommend for a lot of our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. It's got that, you know, The Hustler, The Cincinnati Kid, those The Sting. That's kind of got one of those old school feels to it. It probably doesn't translate overly well. But when you want to start to kind of immerse yourself in, you know, the old school gambling movies, the classics, that's definitely up there with one of them.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I mean, it just obviously it's sensationalized for the silver screen, but the power of addiction and some of the issues that you can see arising from this if you don't get your gambling under control. Another one, Payne, that I know people talk about, and you either come down on one side of the fence or the other, the Richard Dreyfuss classic with Tom Cruise and Let It Ride.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, I have to throw it out there and get your opinion on it.
You know it's in our intro.
Yeah, I know it's in our intro, but like
God
I said.
God likes me. God, of course, it's a classic.
All right, I just have to check on some of these things and reaffirm what people may or may not already know when it comes down to it.
Yeah, that's in there, man.
I mean,
it's in our intro.
So it's there. I mean, we do pay it its tribute. It definitely gets its due diligence there.
Here's the big question. I'm going to let you know it's coming. The left jab is coming. This one may be near and dear to your heart. The Cooler. What do we think of this one?
I was waiting for that, you fucking dick. I was waiting for it. It was just a matter of time before it got out there that you were going to try and throw that one out there. I actually don't mind the cooler. Do I love it? No, but I think the way William H. Macy plays the main character in that, I think it's a good movie and it's entertaining. I don't think it's one of the all-time best, but I would call it a pretty decent gambling movie.
Yeah. He's a great actor.
You know, you talk about, you know, gambling superstitions, the concept of luck. I mean, we joke about it all the time. We tell people not to come on our Twitter feeds and pat us on the back if we have a winner in the third quarter. You wait till it's finished. And so it just kind of plays off of the way some of these gamblers are built and constructed.
Yeah, no question. And then here's another one. And I'm not a huge Western guy, but Maverick has some pretty awesome scenes in it.
It does.
I'm not sure I would call that a gambling movie, but it's close.
Yeah, I think that's one of those ones that you can be, you know, somewhere you kind of straddle the fence. Is it a gambling movie? Is it a Western? I do love some of the lines that come out of Mel Gibson when he comes down, sits at the poker table, and says, "I'm going to sit here and lose for an hour," and basically then takes everybody's money. It cracks you up. And that's kind of the mentality in a microcosm that you go through in a learning curve. Even when you're betting sports, you're obviously not looking for tells, but you're trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. So I wouldn't call it a gambling movie, but I do think that has some good gambling scenes.
The Gambler, the new one.
What
one of the most
Mark Wahlberg,
underwhelming
right?
movies. Yep. Yeah, I was so looking forward to that. It just wasn't great. Did have a great scene with John Goodman in it. One of the best gambling scenes. But the movie itself, oof, very underwhelming.
I feel like you'd be looking forward to the new Will Ferrell movie, The House, you know, as a gambling movie that maybe we can put up there as an instant classic.
No, it's not going to be an instant classic, but I'll definitely go see it. I know what I'm expecting. I'm going to walk in and just expect to be entertained for 2 hours. It's going to let my mind, you know, rid itself of whatever's, you know, on it. And I'm going to be able to eat some popcorn and enjoy 2 hours of time. The big one here that we haven't mentioned that I think probably a lot of people in our age group, Two for the Money.
I mean, Two for the Money comes at you from a number of different elements, and I know you have a slightly different perspective on it.
He might actually be listening.
Yeah, I mean, you have a slightly different perspective on it, given some of the relationships for it. I actually feel that it was good for entertainment's sake, obviously, over the top, overblown. We know some of the characters that, I mean, it was supposed to represent in, you know, Al Pacino specifically, Brandon Lang, you know, Matthew McConaughey, very real character, very relevant in the space. I thought it was entertaining. Do I think that anybody should live by it as the gospel? Absolutely not. But I did think if you're talking about 90 minutes of entertainment, I'll give it one thumbs up. I'm not going to give it two thumbs up. And I don't think it would win any best of categories anytime soon.
My dog agrees. I'm on dog duty right now, just snoring up a storm behind me. Must have not have been a fan of Two for the Money.
Which, I mean, how big a dog are we watching this time? I mean, are we small, talking another, small. You know, 4-pounder?
No, small dog, yeah.
We may have to get you a dog of your own, you know, as we get closer to football season.
Too much responsibility. Although I hear the new ones are being,
The new ones. Yeah, they have new, the new ones genetically have engineered little, dogs is what you're getting at here, huh?
Well, a lot of the like fancy people now, they use these little, you know, 6x6 square diaper things that you just plop on the ground in the house, and then they go on the square. You've trained them, and then you just throw it in the trash. It really kind of, you know, you're not scrambling. You don't have that situation where you're scrambling to take the dog out, you know, right before the big game starts, you know. You let them go a little longer. There's a little square. Go for it. Boom, we're good.
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend that had a dog trained on those puppy pads for like the middle of the night and those potential accidents. Let me tell you, it's not all it's cracked up to be because you take the dog anywhere and you don't have a puppy pad. It pretty much treats the world as its urinal. So I'm not going to sit here and advocate for it. We're not getting a sponsorship deal from puppy pads anytime soon. But, you know, I digress. 21. This is a movie, Payne, I'll openly admit, I haven't seen from start to finish in one sitting. I've obviously seen it in its entirety broken up. Are you a fan of 21 as a gambling movie?
It's okay. I mean, I think it's a gambling movie.
But, I mean, are you,
like
a fan of it, where it goes?
The hype. No, I mean, I would watch it again, probably. I mean, it's nothing that, you know, if I'm late at night flipping through all the HBO channels or whatnot, and you've reached your allotment of Skinamax purchases for the month, you know, you maybe you go to the 21, but no, I'm not earning to watch it. Like, I'm not going out of my way to watch it again.
I mean, where do you come down on The Hustler with Paul Newman and, you know, that flick?
I like it. Good movie. Okay. I'd watch that again for sure.
Okay. I just, you know, I just want to try and make sure.
Lucky You, another poker movie? I think Drew Barrymore's in that one.
Yeah, I don't know if that one is going to make a top 10 list of mine anytime soon.
Okay. What was the other new poker movie that I thought stunk, some people liked?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, you're really going to have to try and take your pick for a lot of the movies that are out there. How recent are we talking?
Fairly recent.
I'm going to have to try and...
Fairly recent.
Have to try and
Mississippi Grind is the name of the new poker movie I was looking at. Man, is that dark.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Came out in 2015. Believe it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
I'm going to butcher that. Is it Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. We can pull it up on IMDb as we try and go through.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, of course. Ryan Reynolds.
The memory sticks.
And then the guy, and I know you're not into it yet, but if you're a Netflix guy and you watch Bloodline, Ryan Reynolds is in it, and then the brother, the messed up brother from Bloodline, is in it. Ben Mendelsohn, I think his name is.
That may be what I have to make as a summer project, because I know you've gotten on my case on numerous occasions that if I don't have Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad watch by the time we reconvene for football podcast, I'll be a major disappointment.
Sons of Anarchy. You got to get on Sons of Anarchy.
All Americans. One last movie, and then we'll get to Dave Mason, because I'm sure he has some interesting stuff to add about how this NBA Finals have gone and the things that are in store at Bet Online this summer. I think this is a movie we come down on slightly different sides, The Sting. I put The Sting for me top five from the way the movie builds and everything else. Maybe not so relatable now in the current landscape, but you're not a fan of this thing.
No, I like it. I own it.
Well, I mean, you own a lot of movies.
If you're expecting it to like translate and be like uber entertaining, no, I think it probably watches more like a play these days.
I think that I never thought of it that way. That's a very interesting way to look at it. But yeah, it was steeped.
Yeah, like in 2017, I think, you know, it's a movie in the 1970s. I think it watches more like a play right now.
I would agree, and I think for
anybody, which is fine.
Yeah, it's just different. Like you said, you have to go in with a different mindset. I think the plot twists and turns will surprise some people, but it's definitely going to have that older feel to it. Harkens back to a bitter old man, a simpler time for gambling and some of the swindles that are out there. So. You know, just kind of wanted to offer up some perspective. We may have a little fun with some of these games.
Here's the million-dollar question.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Fire away.
Is Vegas Vacation a gambling movie?
You know what? I think that is a great poll question that we threw out to our Twitter community because I don't have a strong opinion on it.
Yeah, let's do that.
I don't have a strong opinion on it. Nick Papagiorgio, though, one of the best characters you're going to find in you know any of those kind of movies. But I don't know if I call it a gambling movie, so I think we'll have to put it out there. We'll throw it to the powers of Twitter.
That was the greatest fake ID before McLovin came around.
It was. It definitely was. And that still may be a better fake ID than McLovin.
I think so.
It still may be up there, but having some fun with some gambling movies like we wrote about in our article that you can find on BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Some interesting ways to spend your summer when there are some betting options that diminish. You can always try and find your way to immerse yourself in the gambling culture, but if you're still looking to put those hard-earned dollars into action, there are always plenty of events to do it, and we have just the man for the cause. As we do each and every podcast here on Bet the Board, we go to Dave Mason for firsthand book perspective. You can follow Dave on Twitter at DaveMasonBOL. And Dave, we haven't chatted in a few weeks. I guess the most logical place to start, how's the handle been on the NBA Finals? And have you guys been, you know, thrilled with the results you're seeing so far, given the matchup of these power programs?
Thrilled with the handle, not thrilled with the results. We've been, the handle's been great. I mean, last night I tweeted out that was the most bet game in company history. So we got more action on that game than any other NBA game. And it rivaled a NFL playoff game, to tell you the truth. It's probably about 80% there of a NFL playoff game. That's how much action was on last night's game. But, yeah, we've been getting our tails handed to us. I mean, May was the worst month in company history.
And it's not even a football month.
Well, yeah, I know. It's been crazy. NBA was just so bad. It was, I mean, you know, the Cavs and Warriors were covering with ease left and right, especially on the road, which is always a disaster. So it was the most profitable month for bettors at Bet Online in the history of the company. So congrats to them. So that also increases the handle too. So that's kind of two parts here. we are still growing and having a lot more new people coming to our site, which is helping. We're having a lot more people reactivating, which is great. But also, we got a lot of rich people with big, robust accounts that are, you know, the $50 bettors turning into $100 better, the $100 bettors turning into $200 better, etc. So, yeah, the handle's awesome.
When it comes to player props, you know, we know you BetOnline has a ton of them. What's the response there from players? We know we have the big name guys in the NBA Finals, KD, LeBron. What does that look like in terms of handle for player props?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you hit it right there. When you the big names, anything you put anything up a LeBron or a KD or Curry, you're going to get great action on it. So, and our, you know, kudos to our guys. They've been just offering more and more props, man. They've really been bringing their A game. So, I know I bugged them enough, but they're just bringing it. They're putting up so much stuff. It's great. More content you have, the better. So, you know, people want to bet on the NBA Finals. There are only a few more NBA games left, so they want to get down every which way possible. So we put a lot of props up there, and our players are enjoying them.
Well, you mentioned all that stuff, Dave, and I guess we're on the NBA. I mean, it seems a mere formality that Golden State is going to be crowned champion for the second time in 3 years. NBA draft is a few short weeks away. I think June 22nd, I don't have the date in front of me. Can we count on a few wrinkles coming from BetOnline there? I mean, we heard you talk about in May how successful the NFL draft was, and while the NBA isn't the same kind of big event, I'd have to imagine that's something you guys have on your radar.
No, absolutely. We'll have a nice sampling. Like, you know, you guys remember me going off about the NFL draft and how much action it was. I mean, we hit it out of the park with that one. I mean, a ton of action on the NFL draft. So we're hoping to piggyback off that and get a lot of NBA action going on. See, that's the good thing about the NBA draft is whereas the NFL draft, you know, you got a lot of guys, NFL guys and football guys disappearing in early February. And you don't see them until, you know, the following August. But you try to get a lot of those guys back for the NFL draft, but, it's 3.5 months later, whatever it is, 2.5 months later. The NBA draft is only, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks after, so it's easier to get those NBA guys to hang around for an extra couple weeks until they go, you know, hiding for the next month or two. So, you know, there will be a good offering up. I'm talking with our guy today, and we're going to start brainstorming and get a nice, robust offering for everybody to bet on the draft.
Speaking of the slow time of summer, we know you guys have done a great job with special offerings. You had the spelling bee earlier, the hot dog contest moving forward. Anything off the beaten path? We know the Trump stuff today. Talk to us a little bit about potentially what you have going on in terms of interesting, unique prop offerings.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, and that's kind of, you know, when I'm working in marketing, that's kind of the last stuff I'm trying to drive is all the kind of unique stuff. You know, the guys from risk management some kind of roll their eyes and stuff, but you know, I'm looking for that unique stuff that it's going to be buzzworthy. People talking on Twitter and out in the press and getting on voices out on radio and TV and whatnot. So, yeah, like this Comey's testifying as we speak, and we put up some odds for Trump, what Trump will tweet today, and a bunch of different people picked that up and talked about it. So, that's what we're looking to do on that. Get people, and a lot of people are betting on it too. So, you know, where these unique kind of buzzworthy stuff, it used to get a handful of bets. More and more people are betting on this, especially when it comes to Trump. Anything we put related to Trump and people are pounding it. But, yeah, we got the hot dog contest on July 4th. That's always a fun event. We already have a ton of odds open. I think Joey Chestnut's about 4-1 favorite. Yeah, so a lot of good stuff coming up.
All right, Dave. You know, let's put all this, some of that gambling stuff, you know, to the side right now. The most important question we're going to ask you on this podcast was the meat and potatoes of our summer send-off edition. What's the best sports gambling movie or movies in your opinion? Like, what makes Dave Mason's top three when it comes to sports gambling stuff? Or gambling top, in general, I should say.
Top three. Okay. Number three, Owning Mahoney. I like that one a lot. You guys watch that?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
No, it's awesome. It's a sleeper. Not many people talk about that one.
Awesome. Well, you know, anything with
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, anything with that guy, and it's great. Unfortunately, there's nothing.
We're not going to get any new releases, basically, is what you're getting.
Nah, that's a shame. But number two, Casino. I enjoy that one thoroughly. And number one is a no-brainer for me, Rounders.
You are a poker guy, huh?
You know, I not as much as I used to, but I used to play a lot, but definitely not as much as I used to.
Gotcha.
But that movie is just great, man. I've probably seen that over under 11 and a half times, probably.
I mean, what's the line? You are the rake in life. I always butcher it, Payne.
In the game of life, women are
you
the
are
rake.
The rake.
Women
think,
are the rake.
Oh, I think, Mason, I think Payne's used that line on me about 1,000 times since we started doing business together.
Yeah. Well, it's a classic movie. Speaking of poker, I know we haven't spoken in a few weeks, but our bad beat jackpot in our poker room hit, I think it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, $650,000. So the winner, loser, you know, the biggest loser that got it won it, won 35% of that, and most of it got distributed to the table, and I think 30% got seeded into the next jackpot, which is already over $250,000. So he had a straight flush 5 through 9, and he got beat by a straight flush 7 through jack. So $650,000 it hit for.
Last thing, Dave, before we send you off for about a 6 to 8 week summer vacation, and we reconvene in August. What kind of promotions can our listeners expect on Bet Online? Should they want to bet on the NBA draft, get involved in the hot dog eating contest, or any of the other cool summer offerings that you guys are going to have for your players?
Our Bet the Board welcome bonus is still live and kicking. Use promo code 75BTB for a one-time 75% welcome bonus for new betonline.ag users. If you already have a betonline.ag account and you haven't received the reload bonus yet, use promo code 35BTB for a one-time 35% reload for the sports book. The max bonus on either of those is $1,000. So go over to betonline.ag and sign up and get your 75% welcome bonus.
Dave, we're going to let you go because it sounds like there's an intruder breaking into your place right about now in the background. So we might want you to go take care of that.
Is that the squeaky chair again?
That is, it might be the squeaky
That's
chair.
That's the squeaky chair.
It could be time for Dave to shed a few pounds for the summer beach
now,
season.
Man, I'm looking good, guys. I dropped 5 pounds. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to rock the summer. Got my Speedo ready. I'm ready.
I thought you adopted a cat there for a minute.
I'll do our next podcast on the couch or in bed, better yet.
Dave, enjoy your summer. Always a blast. Can't wait to start talking about football for real as we do our preview podcast, both for college in the NFL in a few short weeks. And folks can always follow you on Twitter for some of the best information in the business at Dave Mason BOL.
All right, guys, have a good summer.
Man, Payne, for summer, if we're going to get Dave a gift, we better send him some WD-40 for that squeaky chair of his.
I thought he was a noble man adopting stray cats in a far, far away.
I mean, from what we know about Dave, he may take in strays, but I'm not sure they're cats. So
that's accurate. You know, way to throw the guy under the bus when he's not here to defend himself.
I mean, he'll have 6 months to come up with a defense. Sometimes it may take him that long. We're never quite sure. 6 weeks to try and figure all that out. Great stuff today on the summer send-off edition of the Bet the Board podcast. Kentucky Derby Jay giving you everything you need to know on the Belmont Stakes. And as he mentioned, we will have his full field breakdown available for those that prefer the written format on bettheboardpodcast.com. So encourage you to check that out on Friday. Some new writers breaking in. We encourage you to welcome them with open arms, a U.S. Open preview next Tuesday, and some fun, entertaining stuff as we look to broaden our horizons throughout the summer months before we hit the ground running. You can follow Payne on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Encourage you to watch a lot of those gambling movies, read some gambling books. And Payne, what other advice, if any, do you have for our loyal listeners as we send them off into the summer doldrums?
Enjoy your summer.
Enjoy. What you got?
Lots of Tito's vodka.
You got any big plans for the summer?
Usually don't divulge. You know me by now. It's very rare I divulge where I'm going or what I'm doing. It's kind of.
I mean, it's very difficult when you have the paparazzi.
I'll have to be out in the desert for some stuff to get set up before football.
Always.
So I'll be out there. Potential trip in the mix that we were just discussing. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well,
see where the summer takes us. But there really is no time off, honestly. And during football season, you can't wait for time off. And it doesn't necessarily have to be
a far, far place away. Sometimes just the mental relaxation, you wake up one morning at 9:15, you get to sleep in a little bit, and you know what? You say, I don't have a thing to do. And it feels awesome. And your brain just gets to rest. So that's a big part of my summer. But football is now becoming, you know, a year-round event. So you got to prepare yourself for that right now. We've gotten past the rookie camp phase. We like to see a lot of guys are doing in OTAs, some guys that are sparking the interest in that. Players getting released, adjustments being made. I know the Jets' schedule's a little soft, but, man, that's going to be an interesting
game. Well, and you mentioned the Jets. BetOnline does have a prop if you believe the Jets or maybe even the Cleveland Browns go the entire football campaign without a victory. It'll get you 14-1 right now for 0-16. You do have to lay a price if you want to go under 3.5 wins for the lowest win total. Should be a real barn burner for
sure. Big news. Big news.
More big news.
What was the big news this week?
The
Colin Kaepernick interview didn't go so well with old Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I don't know if that. I mean, I thought you were going to give me something else that I hadn't figured out. I mean, no. Between the Colin Kaepernick,
that's been the summer story, right?
Yeah, I mean, we figured it might be a logical fit, a city that might accept him for some of his views. We obviously don't get into stuff that's too political here.
No, not the political stuff. I think it was logical from a standpoint.
I don't think he comprehended the language. I don't think he was a good fit. No doubt about it. And I know
I think this is the thing. I think. When a lot of people looked at that, you know, and we've mentioned this on a lot of podcasts, everybody likes to talk quarterback because it's something they can look at. So when you look at Seattle, you're like, okay, Russell Wilson, mobile. Who was their backup at, like, you know, a couple of – Tavares Jackson, mobile. They draft, you know, the kid from TCU, like Boykin, like a mobile quarterback. So it makes sense from that point. But when you look at that locker room, there was clearly last year, if you, you know, actually dig into sports, and now at this point in 2017, like, on the field is humongous. But what goes on behind the scenes – is just as big. It plays a huge role. There was a fracture in that locker room last year. We had Richard Sherman speaking out, and of course,
Michael
all
Bennett
the defensive
as well.
Guys came to his side. You had a running back retire because they didn't like the way the team was going, and it was basically quarterback Russell Wilson and coach Pete Carroll. And so when you would bring a guy like Colin Kaepernick into that locker room, which side do you think he's going towards? He's going to go towards the loud, outspoken, boisterous side of the locker room. It would have never been a good fit from that perspective. So it didn't stun me at all, but I know everyone looked at it like, oh, this is a good fit here for what he could potentially bring on the field. At this point, and I don't think people grasp it, like, he's a placeholder, right? Like, he's potentially a QB that bridges the gap for an organization. Regardless of, you know, what you think and feel about him, the reality is he's 30 in November. And at this stage, all the film's out on him. We know his strengths. We know his weaknesses. So I don't think anybody bites.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think
if you really go list the quarterbacks, like, go through this, like, you know, as an exercise, not on the podcast. Look at all the quarterbacks in the league. You're not really playing them over anybody else. And then when you get into, like, the bottom tier of 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks that are potentially making starts, it's not what that franchise wants to do. Like, you get the Cleveland Browns. And we'll talk about this in the preview podcast about Cody Kessler and him being much better than people actually think. But teams like the Jets want to rebuild. Surely they could probably win more games than Colin Kaepernick. But the goal is we're going to stink here so we can potentially get one of the two best quarterbacks next year. Like, there's a plan in place. And we see that all the time in the NFL. The best guys don't necessarily start.
Yeah, I mean,
there is that organizational plan in place, you know?
There's a lot more to it. I mean, obviously, on-field talent is one aspect of it, but you have to fit the organization. You have to fit in the locker
room. Which I don't think he has a ton of.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I haven't been...
The casual fan looks at it like, the guy had 16 touchdowns last year and 4 interceptions. How can he not be employed? Like, I remember a guy, his name was Nick Foles. Under the same system as Chip Kelly, he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Like, Chip Kelly runs a quarterback-friendly offense. He struggled to find stability in this league bouncing around. He's been on 3 teams in the last 3 seasons as a backup. Lucky to be a backup.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
We know what that system does.
There's a lot to unpack, and of course, we'll get to that. I think the Seahawks are going to be a fascinating case study as we get closer to August to see exactly how this team comes together, and if they don't start well, how quickly they could fracture at the seams. With a little bit of discord in the locker room. But those are just some of the things folks new to the podcast will have to look forward to. As we said, not only the NFL in great detail with our Monday-Thursday editions, but we're adding that college football podcast on Wednesday. Some special guests lined up, a lot of other wrinkles, and plenty of great written content to keep you occupied throughout the course of the summer. So, for Dave Mason, special guest Kentucky Derby Jay and Payne, unless you have some final parting shots, we can bid our audience a fond farewell. Hopefully they make some money and they come back with those bankrolls stocked and ready to go for football season.
See you for football season.